Daytime Confidential podcast brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. It's 2013, so we're counting down our top five soap opera New Year's resolutions. The question is, will we be able to stick to them? So stay tuned. Jamie Giddens, welcome.
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good. The first episode of 2013.
Well, I'm just fair to piddling myself.
Kicking off the new year. Jillian Bow, welcome.
What's up?
And Melody Akles, welcome.
Hey, hey.
Well, counting down the top five soap opera New Year's resolutions. I went back and looked at some of my resolutions from last year, and much like my personal ones, my soap opera and daytime ones didn't really last, so we'll see what happens this year. Mel, why don't you kick us off?
Well, my number five is going to be to watch more web series. I've watched some Divinity and some Empire, and I really liked them, but I don't ever keep up with them like I should. So my New Year's resolution is to keep up with them like I do with the rest of my television shows.
Well, and if you haven't done a marathon of Divinity and you aren't caught up on it,
I'm behind.
Season one or two are on their website, and it's premiering very soon, so I would encourage you and anybody else to go out and watch a marathon and be ready, because it's going to be fantastic. I know it. Jillian, who do you have at, or what do you have at number five?
My number five is to keep continuously shaming Amelia Hynley for that hair. You are on a soap, gal. Don't be doing that.
Her hair has improved.
Until you do right by the hair mods, I'm not going to stop shaming you. I'm not.
The Vanity premieres January 10th for those who are wondering.
Jamie.
Girl, you better get to it.
Yes, what, Luke? What
do you have at number five?
I
think we're a little rusty here.
I'm going to just tell you, I don't have any resolutions for myself, because I'm doing everything I'm supposed to be doing to keep these soaps honest. So my resolutions are for other people. So I resolve at number five for The Bold and the Beautiful to start telling fresh, modern, and out-of-the-box stories, because I'm just a little tired of that same conversation between those three 20-year-olds. And y'all know who they are. Ain't no need for me to regurgitate it, but I'm tired of it. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of we made out and she made out and I made out and let's go to France or let's go to overseas Aspen. It's the same old stuff, and I'm tired of it. And I like Brad Bell. I think he's really innovative writer. You know, he got me hooked on this show. He was already, when I started watching B&B, he'd already taken over the reins from his dad. So I know he can write sassy, sexy, sultry stuff. I want the B&B I fell in love with. I want Brooke on Brooke's bedroom set screwing one of her daughter's husbands. I want Stephanie and them trying to put Ridge up to seduce Brooke so that she can break up Brooke and Thorne. I want some good, sultry, raunchy, Bold and the Beautiful stories. Not these three children in this heavy petting triangle. It's boring, and I'm done with it. And I want some out of the box. I want the dialogue fresh. It's like they only say the same things 5 days a week. I don't want any more surprise arcs that we didn't know were happening. Who knew Dollar Bill was an alcoholic until they had the intervention? I'm like, he got an intervention. We ain't even had an alcoholism storyline, but we got an intervention with the lesbians and everybody else. I'm like, who knew he was a drunk? I ain't never seen him slurring his words, failing to walk the line. The last 3 months, he's been hanging out with Brooke and kissing on her and raising that baby while Katie been running around hearing voices in her head. Now he's a drunk. You just can't have an intervention story without having an alcoholism story. Play the beats, Brad. Play the beats. Tell a good story. I love you, but you finna get hands off. In 2013, you finna get that same treatment that we give Days of Our Lives for bullshit like that. You can't just have, oh, he's an alcoholic. Wait, why? Because he pushed that. Look, I'm not an alcoholic, but I'd have pushed Caroline off the cliff.
You know, this show has it. I've said it on Twitter before you wrap that up. This show could have it being fresh if they would bring Amber back and replace that girl playing Caroline as Chrishell with Chrishell Stiles, and they could have a Brooke Ridge Taylor storyline with Amber Rixey.
They've had the best cast in television. They could replace her with Dame Maggie Smith. And if Brad still writes those, no, Caroline, I love Rick. No,
Caroline. He's got like 40 former head writers under his stables.
Keep better writing on that show. That's my number five.
Well, coming in at number five for me is a decision to cut Chad Duell a little bit more slack in 2013. He made incremental progress in 2012, so I figured 2013, I'll cut him some slack. I will preface this by saying I'm not necessarily going to give Chad Duell or Michael and Star some slack, but I'll give Chad Duell.
Luke sound like he is your boss when you have it in your review. You have made. You're going in that thing. You're not
incremental progress.
That's up good with that PowerPoint presentation. And he's like, "Well, you've made incremental progress."
Yes, I'm pretty sure Chad Duell is sitting in the window saying, "Thank you, Luke."
Yeah. Well, I'm sure he doesn't give a flying flip.
No,
but still, I mean, I think that
Luke can make you make some money in daytime. Look at Rebecca Budding. Hell, he got her up.
And you notice that Marcy Ryland is back at YNR.
Here you go.
I ain't worried about you. Go ahead then, Luke. He said he made incremental progress.
Hell, and Gloria ass is smirking back on that set.
That's true. We just need to get more West back. Who knows? Maybe on Life to Live or All My Children.
Oh, let me tell y'all a funny aside since you mentioned Maura West, since this is a lighthearted podcast. So, I posted, I didn't even think about the fact that Kanye West, you know.
Oh, I saw that.
With her. So I said something, what did I even, I don't even remember what I named the child. I was talking about Kanye and Kim's child, and I said something about, I can't wait for the birth of, I have to find it because it was funny. I said, look at Maura West got jokes. Wait a minute, where is it?
Yeah, Maura West chimed in. I said, uh-oh.
Lord, I must post a lot on Facebook. Because I thought that was just a couple of days.
You think?
Don't be hating, Luke. Don't be hating. I'm building my fan base, okay? I'm talking to people and sharing and commuting and social
media. Unlike face stalking like you just
sit I'll back just be like just looking and lurking and trying to see what I can see.
Sitting back like a spider. Yeah. 2013.
It's Facebook done hit it. Now they got all this bullshit people done posted up here. These pictures of some animals kissing and stuff, but I can't find.
Facebook is becoming MySpace with all the those images that they're doing. Next thing we know, we're going to get glitter crap.
I can't find it, but Maura West chimed in because you know her surname is West, and I was like, I can't wait for Kim Ye's baby, and I named it some ghetto name, and she said, how'd you know what
I was going to do? I found it. I want a countdown clock for the birth of little Mookie Wayne Kardashian West. And Maura West chimed in and said, how'd you know the name of my next baby?
I love her. You know, because she always plays such dramatic parts, but they do have such a sense of humor. You know, they always have a sense of humor. But I'm like, we need to get Maura West on a sitcom.
Yeah, she's funny as hell.
Mel, who do you have at number four, or what?
Well, I have. This is all for those babies who don't know where they are. I want y'all to find yourselves. And if I'm going to be specific, Lindsay Morgan on General Hospital. Baby, I can't.
She need to find herself in the front of a bullet.
She going to have to find herself gone. Something going to have to happen. I can't handle it. Just do it. Please. Please.
Well, at this point, there's a better chance of her getting run, Christina getting run over than shot.
She gonna have
I don't care as long as she finds herself in a casket.
She would be so great in these black church plays that they have all the time here in Atlanta. Cause she's
maybe good. You can sign her up for Tyler Perry's Downton Abbey.
Should be, yeah. That girl, Owen is going to have Tyler Perry doing a version of Downton Abbey, according to Deadline. So, yeah, get her on there. She'd be, you know, I could see her in a church funeral scene. She'd be so good. Oh, Lord!
She'd
She put white and black Randy to shame.
See, and
combined.
You like to clown my Florencia for being loud. That girl is beyond loud. I'm
see,
like,
Flo is loud and talented.
And good, yeah.
Yes.
But this baby is just loud.
Jillian, who or what do you have at number four?
At number four, I have that I am going to stop. This is just for 3 months, though. I am going to stop shading Eric Braden. And when we get talking later, I'll tell you why. Like
on the next podcast.
Yes, we'll find out why. I'm going to stop for 3 months because, Eric just gave me life on Twitter. Hey, Steve, how you doing? That's my number four.
Jamie?
My number four is, again, for someone else because I am perfect. It is for the new regime at the Young and the Restless. Now,
yeah.
We's done gave y'all and gave y'all some time now. I'm going to need for y'all to figure some stuff out. There's a lot I like about the show. I like a lot of the casting. I like the sexy people coming in. But we're going to have to do a little better with these stories. I could care less about what happened with Noah in New York unless he was straddling Ignacio Serracio upside down. I don't care about Adriana. I don't even know Adriana yet, but I'm not saying I'm not going to care about her. But I am going to say, and when you create a new story for teens initially based on a plot, it's not good when they're all newbies. Why do we care about this stolen money when it's all being played by newbies? These stories need to be better integrated. You can't just – that might have worked on like a Hollywood Heights, so let's have somebody stealing something in that because that's just a 3-month show or a 5-month show. But Noah needs to be better integrated. Summer is doing really good. You know, I think the little girl that's playing Summer is good. I think both actors are good, but they need to integrate these stories a little better.
Finn is creepy.
I'm so over.
Creeping the hell out of me.
I like Finn. I like Finn.
He's Michael's child, so it's perfect.
I'm tired of Nick and these midlife crises that he's been having since he was 25. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, your dad owns a $1 billion corporation. Let's focus on that. I'm tired of that whole I don't want to be my dad stuff. Because
by the Crimson Bat.
By the way, he has $500 million of his own.
And who cares about these stupid clubs? All that is Jill Phelps wanting to change. She did that shit in Another World when she came to Another World. Next thing I know, Paulina Corey is running an Italian restaurant after fighting like hell to get her cut of the Corey fortune. We have her running around making meatballs and bullshit. I don't care about Nick owning a club.
This is another FOJ.
If you look at the reboot of Dallas, it hinges on Bobby's child and JR's child fighting like hell as the next generation continuing their father's feuds. Let's see that with Y&R. You know, the spoilers say that that's going to happen next week with Billy and Adam, but will it just be a scene or will it continue? Because that's what we need to see. We need to see the next generation of Jack and Victor's progeny fighting. That means Nick and Adam and Victoria and Abby need to be at Newman and the Abbots need to be at Jabot. Abby torn in the middle because she's both. And let's have a party. But who cares about this club so you can show, ooh, look, I know how to design a new set. Who cares? Who cares about the new sets? The music is pretty fine, but these stories are weak. They're weak and they need to get better.
Well.
Not sure how to follow that one up, so I'll do my best. Last year, one of my resolutions was to try and read one of Oprah's book club picks. And since I didn't really succeed at that, I've decided to lower the bar. And in 2013...
Dr. Seuss?
No, not Dr. Seuss. But I figure I want to try and read at least one soap opera-based novel. Now, I refuse to read the one by Connie that's coming out in the spring. But I was thinking, I know Jamie's mentioned before that there used to be some really good ones back in the day, and I was thinking, well, I know there's been ones from Robin, and there was the Oakdale ones, and the various other ones, and I was thinking, you know, maybe I'll actually go back and read one of those now, just to try it out. So, if you have any recommendations, hit me up on Twitter, twitter.com/Luke_Kerr, and give me your recommendations. See what I end up picking.
Okay, and that was slick to get more followers, too. Nice.
Mm-hmm. Tess of the D'Apovilles. It's all about the storyline that happened on Love It. Look it up.
Mel, what do you have at number three?
My number three is for General Hospital to get rid of Connie Falconeri because I'm the end of my rope. For me, personally for me, that is the biggest black spot on that show because I am enjoying most of it, but I can't take her anymore. It's like, you know, you walk into a room, it's like a big giant pink elephant wearing a green tutu. I can't take it anymore. She got to go. She's got to go.
Jillian?
A pink elephant wearing a green tutu. I'm like, is she an AKA? I thought the Deltas
won.
I thought Deltas won an elephant. Y'all go Google that.
Stop it. Stop it.
My number three is for, I'm going to keep on because I am equal opportunity. I'm going to stay on Y&R to get it together. Now, Josh, it ain't like you brand new. You was working at Y&R to the Ara before Evita came there and stole your spot. So I don't understand why things just seem so discombobulated. Like, you know, when I watch Y&R, I'm just like, I could have a V8 right about now. Like, you know, it's just so discombobulated. I don't understand why Josh is doing some of the things that he's doing, like Jack's pill popping storyline.
Stripper.
I know, you know, I've noticed this is a pattern with him. When he and Lynn Marie were at the helm, they had Jack and Nikki at each other's throats. I can't stand that bitch, Nikki. Oh, I can't stand Jack. They used to be aces. Go back on that. Fast forward to now with Jack with this pill popping thing. Look, I like Phyllis, but Phyllis needs to stop being Captain Save-A-Ho with everybody. I'm tired of it. The person that should have been rescuing Jack with this is Nikki. Now all of a sudden Nikki's like, I can't stand that bitch, Jack. They was married for 5 minutes. Come on now, like, enough. I would just like things for it to be a little bit tighter. If Nick does not want to work at Newman, let him buy that coffee shop back so Kevin's ass could stop being broke. I thought Kevin had money with all the money that Mac and Kay gave that boy. I'm like, you can't balance a checkbook. I'm like, what's up with that?
Which is ridiculous because Kevin used to run the numbers at Marcina.
Kevin didn't even have a house before they gave him that house for this plot because Kevin and them used to live over there in some apartments. They just made that up to give him a storyline. Oh, let's make Kevin about to lose his house. When did he buy a house? When did he have his credit score run? When did he go to Fannie Mae? I never saw any of that.
Kevin is the boy who was badass with numbers and computers. You mean to tell me he cannot freelance somewhere? Somebody in Genoa City with all the moving and shaking that they do ain't trying to buy Kevin from someone else. Hear me saying buy Kevin like he a slave. But you know what I mean? Outbid his contract to come to another company so they could screw around with Newman, Chabot, Chancellor, Tucker, and whatever else is there. It's like,
see, they're actually doing that on Days. Lord knows I never get to praise Days much anymore these days, but they finally remembered that Nick Fallon is a chemistry expert, and they had Countess Wilona and Titan, you know, whatever the other cosmic, Mad World, Mad Disease, Mad Cow. They were battling out for him to come and be, you know. Which, of course, it's kind of, you know, they were all bidding over him. I'm like, he just got out of jail, and he used to work at the lab at the hospital. I don't think he's Ashley Abbott, but, you know, at least they played that beat.
They should do the same thing with Kevin. You mean to tell me Gloria, after all the shit that Kevin's done, when Kevin went to his mom, hey, Mom, can I have a money? No, I have to.
And then last week, Gloria played the races instead of giving Kevin the money. And I'm like, that's character. That was Baldwin Fisher.
Listen, that sounds awfully familiar. Just saying.
Well, I'm sorry, Luke. See, that is the mark of a good comedian, that you will take your personal pain and go there. But
that's
yeah.
funny. But you know, I just need for Y&R to tighten it up, and you know,
tighten up on that backstroke.
Yeah, you cutting all these folks and bringing over big dogs. You need to, like, you know, get it together. I never, you know, we all hemmed and hawed about Victor getting, you know, Eric Braden and Victor winning too much. I never thought I'd love to see the day when I'm just like, where's Victor's old curmudgeon ass?
Over there in his gay man's 1965 penthouse.
Yeah, I'm like, what is that?
have Martini with all the cast of Bewitched.
I've always wanted Victor to lose, but I want him to lose everything to build it from the ground up. Don't do it half-ass. It's just, I don't know. I think the storylines are just out there.
Well, and we already know that he's going to blackmail Jack back into it. I mean, it's so predictable, it's not even funny. Jamie, what do you have at number three?
My number three is for Days of Our Lives to build on what they have with Eileen Davidson. Because I'm going to tell y'all, this was the first week that I enjoyed Days of Our Lives.
Ooh, I screamed.
Since Isabella died of pancreatic cancer. It ain't been that long. It's been a long time. Let me tell you, it's been a long time. It ain't been
doomed, darling, doomed.
Look, since Mickey shot Mill, since Mickey and Laura for raping Laura. Nah, let me quit. Look, since Julie was shoplifted at the first episode. Now, it's been a long time since I've enjoyed Days of Our Lives. And this week, look, since Bone Hope ran off from her wedding from Larry Welch. No, okay, I'm done. It's been a while, I'm just saying. But thanks to Eileen Davidson as Kristen.
Since Jennifer Horton fell for Daniel yet again.
Since Jennifer was dating Emilio. It's been a minute now. It's been a minute, I say.
Yeah, it was good. I mean, John and Brady, I was like, man, Kristen got John beating her. It's his daddy. Ask for that. Dustin, boy. It was
Davidson
good.
Had a ball as Kristen used her hot box to
cat trap
Brady into turning on his daddy and stepmama. It was delicious. Eileen Davidson, when Kristen revealed to John what her motivation was, it was just epic, great soap opera. She brought it out of Drake Hogerson. I loved when Kristen said, "You are such an idiot." I'm like, that right there.
I played it back when she said that. I said, what'd you say again?
I was like, girl threw up John's, you know, he was talking about being in love or whatever with Marlena. She's like, weren't you in love with me and Isabella and Diana? I was like, ah! Jenny Francis' best role ever.
Ooh, oh.
I was not playing, but you know, like I told them on Twitter, they were like, instead of Laura Jamie, and I had to cage. I didn't start watching GH1093, so I missed the epic Luke and Laura days. The Laura I met in 93 had on a muumuu, and so I was like, wait a minute. When she was on Days, she was glamorous. Bitch, she used to wear purple suits with shoulder pads, and she owned a publishing dynasty. Now she out here in a muumuu with a man with a perm. I don't know what to do. Speaking of spiral perms, Ali Davidson was rocking. Tony Geary would have told her, girl, shoot, I wanted that one in the 80s. Because
he'd have been like, where you go to get Shaniqua to do that hair, girl?
Drake and Eric Martstoff's fight scene. That's why I used to love Days. Back in the day, that's all you needed from Days. Like, when I was thinking about the other, because I was thinking really about when I was in love with soaps as a kid, and I can tell you storyline details about Another World, Santa Barbara. But with Days, all I remember is people making love to music and fist fights. I mean, that's all I needed for Days to be, you know, a opponent for a hero. So that was like seeing them dudes. Now, it was kind of disconcerting that I kept thinking, wait a minute, that's your daddy. Okay, I might could see you punching your daddy if you get mad enough, but you done kicked your daddy in the stomach.
That was awesome. It was funny as hell. He whooped John's ass. I was like a Kristen in that fierce. I don't know where they got the budget for that. If that's a knockoff, that's a good knockoff. But I thought it was a Hervé Leger dress. That dress was bomb.
Dress must cost all the money for the production that
week. Yes! Mm-hmm. And it was worth it. It was worth it.
It was a good, but I need Kristen. Kristen is a Demara. She is a Demara, and she is living in Motel 6.
Yeah. I'm like, how your dress costs more than your hotel bill?
So Twitter, but I need Frank Valentini to write a treatise about how to produce an amazing looking soap opera on no budget. Now, he actually has a much more decent budget on GH, but he made One Life to Live look great. Vicky still lived in Landfair, and Landfair didn't start to look like my apartment, you know.
And I'll bet you La Boulay may be trimmed down when it comes time for Prospect Park.
No, we see it's going to be La Bologna sandwich with Prospect.
La Boulay.
It's gonna be like sardines and crackers.
It ain't even gonna have the boule part. It'll just be
Look, they gonna Vicky and Dory are gonna be living above Carlotta's restaurant.
Okay.
I'm going to not even Landfair. I'm going to Fair and Dorian lives in Lobby.
Where you stay?
Coming in at number three is a really.
Come at the La Quinta Inn.
Oh.
I'm staying in here with Destiny and Matthew.
You realize that Destiny and Matthew probably will end up being the patriarch and matriarch.
Shut up.
There'll be One Life to Live featuring Chanel Edmonds. Ah. Evans. Look, she gonna get to turn around like Susan Lucci do at the beginning of all
my and then we'll get Greg to be able to come back and he can run through the halls of what
the run.
I'm on cable now. We have a button.
Have to wait to run because the set is gonna just be one hallway.
You're gonna knock yourself out running up and down.
It's gonna be like Bad Light, that one house with 7 cents.
Well, now they. I have heard that it's supposed to be where they take Maury in Connecticut. So,
in other words, in the middle of this dramatic scene with potentially Vicky or some other legendary soap actor, we're gonna have you on the bottom. I mean, it's gonna be this big.
Landfair
is going to be some woman going, "You're my baby's daddy."
Yeah, this is Erica Slezak is gonna forget all that. Brilliant stage training to go off on Shakanisha because Shakanisha accidentally running down, you know, because they run off at the end of Mari. Oh, Lord! They go accidentally running down when Erica Slezak is giving a soliloquy. She go put that half in the headlock. Jessica!
WWE.
Stop. My bladder cannot take it.
Natalie!
No, oh,
that bitch.
You ain't got to worry, cause them. You know what? Them girls gonna be like, "Where are Connecticut?" Oh, okay. Let me stop. Where we at? Keep it.
I'm trying to get to my number three. Coming in at number three for me is a decision that I'm or a resolution that I'm hoping I can do better than I have in the past. And that is spending more time on Twitter, interacting with our fantastic readers and listeners. I'm not on Twitter as much as the rest of my co-hosts, but I do enjoy getting on and discussing the soaps and primetime television and various other things, like the fact that Doctor Who is fantastic and Grey's Anatomy. But then sometimes you never know when you get really pissed and you're on vacation and all of a sudden people are complaining about One Life to Live actors on General Hospital. It's just like enough is enough, and you have to vent on Twitter. It's a fantastic venting place. I still enjoy interacting with the readers and listeners, and I hope to do more of it this year. Mel, what do you have at number two?
Someone on Twitter gonna be funny.
Yeah.
Shut up, Mel.
On the download. Okay, I'm sorry. That was for Luke.
Nobody is surprised tonight.
Creeping on the Twitter.
Okay, number two. I know we just got done joking about it, but this is what my resolution is. I want One Life to Live and all my children to come back and do well. Emphasis on the last part, do well. I know we talk and we laugh and we joke around about things that will probably might happen. You never know. But I want it to come back and I want it to do well because, you know, we've been losing shows for so many years and it's gonna be, it would feel amazing to get two of our shows back. So I Well, but want them to be well, though. I don't want it to be, you know, like Guiding Light at the end where my Alexandra Spaulding was popping out of a bush. I don't want that.
And we don't want One Life to Live with the Santees, because that would all of a sudden be the founding family.
Erica Slazak popping out of a chevron.
Like, Cat Williams is Jesse Hubbard.
Oh, how about what's his name? A. Martinez coming on with the terrible accent.
He ain't doing that mess.
No, because A is going to be on my Santa Barbara reboot. New World, you hear me? I want them rights! I'm coming for them rights! Look, but I ain't got no money, so don't be asking for it. I'm going to give y'all an IOU, see? And then when I come up with my online company, Jamie Giddens Online Soap Operas and Stories.com, see, then I'm going to get a distribution plan together. Hey, if it works for Prospect Park, why can't I do it like that? Anyway.
Jillian, what do you have at number three?
It's number two.
Yeah.
Or number two, sorry.
My number two is to please. My number two is to not stop until Connie, Kate, and Ricky Bobby to be integrated. I'm tired. You have too much. You know, I love General Hospital, but as I said, I'm equal opportunity. You have too much. You got Olivia as the Italian Celeste over there. Doom, darlings. Doom. I says it's doom. And then you got Connie Kate running around acting like a fool. I just want Sunny. Don't you miss the days when Sunny was in a shootout? I just want a bullet to clip her and then she just band together or something. That's too much.
You know,
he shot Carly in the head. The least he could do is shoot Connie in the head twice.
Sunny always drives his women insane. You know, Brenda freaked out, you know, at that photo shoot. Carly had to go to
at the altar.
Yeah,
so
Carly had to go to Shady Pines, but them other two could get together and be like, "Look, girl, we ain't never put on no tacky clothes and ran around town running chilling off the road and stuff." Take the cake.
It's too much craziness. I would like for, you know, I know that is Ron's trademark for kookiness, but dude, we're not feeling it. We're not feeling you. I'm pretty sure Olivia told you, darlings, they're not feeling you. I can see it. I don't need no LSD to tell you that they ain't feeling it.
I see dead puppies.
No, we're not feeling it. Like, no. Integrate that hoe. If she's going to be Connie, make her Connie. If she's going to be Kate, make her Kate. I'm not liking it. I don't like it. I don't like it a lot. I hate it. Hate it. And tone the whole Olivia thing down, man. Like,
and fix her wardrobe.
I love Olivia and that puppy.
Not Olivia's wardrobe, Connie's wardrobe.
That's your resolution. Mine is for them to just stop. Like, stop, man. It's too much. It's too friggin' much. Like, I don't need that.
Jamie, what do you have at number two?
Well, my resolution is about GH2, and it is my resolve to make sure to do everything in my power that show lives well and beyond April the 1st, 2013, which I don't think that's going to be an issue, but we just have to stay vigilant. We have to stay vigilant. ABC can do some odd stuff, and they parent mouse company can, you know, is still some stuff going on, you know, quiet is kept. Everybody thought that the rights to All My Children and One Life to Live were going to come back to ABC, and that ABC was going to do something with those brands themselves. Then all of a sudden, they decide to give Prospect Park more time. It's like, okay, we thought y'all saw the error of y'all's ways. I like Mel. I want this to be successful, but I'm sorry. I mean, I'm just going to be real, dear Holyfield. We'll talk about it more in the next podcast, but it's almost like Agnes, you know, if you when you put your children up for adoption, you hope that they get a loving home. This is like Agnes was up for adoption and they moved in with the family on Shameless. I'm just go there because
you find out that children on the corner.
They don't have it. Yeah, it's like they done adopted your daughter and now they got her on a street corner talking about, bitch, you better bring that money home. Yeah. Because that is what, I mean, for a lack of a better word, it's like, I want it so bad for the soap fans, for Agnes, but they don't even have any story bibles for either one of these shows, and they're going to go in production next month. Come on now, show you're right. Show something is right. You know,
it's very telling.
You know, they don't have well, no plan, but we're going to talk about that in the next podcast.
Yeah.
So but my thing of it is, I want GH to stay strong. I do not want whatever tomfoolery they managed to do on the web to hurt GH in any way, shape, or form. I want Prospect Park to do right by the soap world and not just do a bunch of bullshit like they did last time. So that's my joint one. I want GH to make it, to continue to thrive, and I want all my children that would like to live to come back, but I want it done right.
Exactly.
And Prospect Park needs to do it right, or else we're going to have that ass.
Well, coming in at number two for me is something that's sort of already been mentioned by Mel and Jamie, and that is give Prospect Park a chance. I have healthy reservations about all of this and how it's going down. Things like Jamie saying they don't have a story Bible and they're wanting to start production next week. Even though we have a slew of people supposedly signing on, has me extremely concerned, because if they don't have their ducks in a row, it could be a colossal failure. And so if it is, then we will never get the opportunity for something else to possibly come back, because it will be, oh, we tried, we gave it a shot, or someone's given it a shot and it failed. So I'm giving Prospect Park a second chance after the debacle that happened last year, but it isn't without a giant grain of salt / caveat, because I can see this turning into going downhill so fast that I don't even want to think about it, especially when I'm thinking about my favorite One Life to Live characters and all my children characters. And yeah. Number one, Mel.
My number one, it's already been mentioned, but it has to be mentioned again. I want the Young and the Restless to get it together. Yes, that too. I wanted to get it together. I have watched this show my entire life, and when I watch it, I feel like I don't know it.
Shut up, Jamie. I heard you.
24. Thank you very much. I'll be 25 at the end of the month, but that's not the point.
Oh, she still counts her birthdays by the end of the month and half years. Oh.
Anyways. I feel like I don't know this show, and that's a terrible, terrible feeling.
I don't know y'all no more.
Exactly. I'm Sophia. but I just, it's hard to watch Jack in this ridiculous addiction pill popping story, because I don't even know what that is right now. And it's hard. It really is. I'm like, why would they give Jack this story and make just take everything away from him? You know, stripping everything we know Jack of.
Give
why?
Damn company already.
Because Victor always wins.
I understand that, but like Jillian was saying, okay, Victor always wins, but we want him to lose, but we want him to lose and build it up. I don't want him to lose and then get it right back like he always does, because that's not any fun.
It doesn't give your character growth.
Mm-hmm. I also want something to be done with Neil. I mean, I'm loving Neil and Leslie right now, but
yes!
I mean, Neil has been in the game, in the corporate game, for so long, and he just got fired at Jabot. Well, what was the point of giving him the CEO job at Jabot if he was just going to get fired 3 weeks later? Why not have Neil have a big corporate takeover story, like Neil's going to get control of Jabot or something like that? I mean, why not?
He had a corporate jet in some deal a while back.
That was lame as hell. That was
right?
Like,
it was, but at least he could sell the thing off
he
to buy
it. To buy the
Neil ought to have enough money in his 401k to take over Sony. Hell, he been at Newman since he was 25, right out of school.
Or his 401k must be
like,
huge.
And he's been saving money because he's living in that little house with that kitchen net. So he ought to have $50 million in the bank.
When I did this, I've always said that I've always wanted Neil to be the one to take outmaneuver Victor for Victor.
Yes.
Like, okay, you know, I'm gonna let Neil do that because he's out on his own. But for Victor to be like, I should have let this sucker run my company instead of these no neck kids of mine, these entitled brats. It would have been really pimped to see Victor be like, Neil was a worthy opponent. For Neil to come out of the blue and just shut it down. Not the same Victor, Jack, Adam, mess. It's tired. Like, I would have liked for Adam to, you know.
And it's really no different. It's Maria's show, except there's no psycho killer trying to shoot anybody. But it's really no
chipmunks or nothing.
Yeah, it's nothing really different.
Instead, we have Kevin and Chloe.
It's
throwing money around the room.
And they've had enough time now to have done some new things. I like Avery. I like all the casting, you know. But you don't bring on Ignacio Sericio, Rhetoric Williams, and the other new guy, and just have them walking around. I mean, why aren't they? You know, at least we have the start of a romantic story with Rhetoric with Lily, and I'm enjoying. I want him to like a biscuit. I want him to put his face all up in her neck and lick it, and just lick down the nip of her neck and just turn her over.
I don't know what Jamie's number one is.
I want it. I want him to. I want some people to cheat on a soap opera, and I want Kane to sleep with Nasty Sherwood because she'll sleep with anybody.
I know. I would actually like him with Phyllis.
Or what do you have at number two, Jillian?
Me number one, Luke.
Or number one.
Phyllis should be with Kane. That would be nice and dirty. My number one is I'm going to try to be positive about Prospect Park, bringing all my chillin in one life to live back on the air. I'm going to try. I said try, Lord. Don't come after me, y'all, if I don't do it. I said try because I'm saying try because it's really telling. I was telling this to Jamie offline. It's real telling when you see they have SAG lined up and they have the Directors Guild lined up, but you don't have, I don't know, the Writers Guild lined up. You ain't got no writers? Who gonna write it then? You know, Moose Todd's old parrot? Like, who gonna write it? Morris the Beaver?
Casey the Alien.
No. Morris the Beaver? Like, who gonna do this? Opal?
They don't have any stories! They don't have any storylines yet. None.
So that's why I'm like, that's why I'm side-eyeing y'all really hard. I mean, I really do want it to survive because then, you know, if networks decide to cut other shows, which I hope they don't, if they decide to, they can all go online for people to view. You know, the model seems okay. It's something that we've all crowed about for them to do it this way. I'm just hoping and praying it works out. It goes well, but, you know.
Okay.
You know.
Jamie, what do you have at number one?
I have at number one, I want to see a new daytime soap greenlit for broadcast television because I think it can happen. I believe that, all the soaps are dead in daytime. Yeah. But the sitcom was dead in the 80s before The Cosby Show brought it back. I feel like if you can create a soap with a strong back end with DVDs and video on demand, and your budget is $40 million or less, you can create a viable, successful soap opera for daytime again. I think that ABC is the perfect case study for this because all of the stuff that they did to get rid of those two shows and move General Hospital around, look, evicted it from its time slot, and what did it net? Hmm. Did it net one hit replacement series? No, The Chew is moderately successful, but I know from my sources that ABC is not all that pleased with The Chew either. The Revolution got canceled. Katie Couric, which is a syndicated show, but it is in bed with ABC Daytime. It is on all of ABC's owned and operated channels, and it is from the same pot of money and under the same direction. It's a flop. I mean, it's not a total flop. Yeah, people love to tout that it's the number one new talk show. Well, that's like saying...
Well, I thought Steve Harvey took that over.
No, Steve Harvey never took. Steve Harvey was besting her and catching her in certain demos.
Okay.
But no, she got the title of the number one new talk show of the... Well, great. You beat Bethany. I mean, woo. You know, but you didn't make, you know, they spent Oprah money on this show, and you didn't bring in Oprah ratings. So it's like, obviously, the people at ABC and Times Square Studios didn't develop any of this. This was, you know, prior to them, basically. But whatever you want to call it, Buena Vista, Chaganista, whatever they rename it every 2 or 3 years, they didn't come up with anything.
Mickey and them.
Look, Mickey Mouse Club syndication department did not come up with anything for syndication or for network that was a breakout hit. The last breakout talk show ABC has created was The View. It is 15 years old. So it would behoove them to think about soaps again. I think that, especially with GH climbing, if GH continues to climb, if it knocks off General Hospital in the demos, which it's only separated
If
from
General
GH.
Wait, General
I mean, no, I'm sorry.
Hospital Hospital.
If General Hospital, look, I've been drinking, not really, but okay. If General Hospital knocks off Y&R in the demos, which it's only separated by Y&R by 1/10 of a point in the demos, not total viewers. If they knock off Y&R, to me that would behoove ABC to think, why don't we create two new 30-minute soaps and get rid of the Chew, and get Frank to oversee them, spin them off from GH. I mean, to me that is what I would like to see. I would like to see Days get strong again, and maybe it get a spin off because I think that soaps will rebound on daytime. I mean, everybody's talking about them not being profitable and they're not being as highly rated as they were 20 years ago. Guess what? Grey's Anatomy is not as highly rated, nowhere near as highly rated as Dallas was in its heyday, or any of the primetime soaps. Primetime television shows are not getting the same ratings that, they just have a better back end and they have syndication and stuff like that, which is why people in daytime have got to figure out that kind of stuff. That's one thing I'll give Brad Bell and the Bells and Brad's brother, Billy, because they figured out a second revenue stream by licensing the hell out of Bold and the Beautiful throughout 85 million countries. Sarah Babel and I'm just making that up because I don't think there are 85 million countries, but I don't really know because I didn't study geography very much. But Sarah Babel revealed that ABC is like the lagger in distributing those shows worldwide. So why is that? Why isn't somebody charged with fixing that? Why isn't somebody going to them damn conferences that Brad Bell be going to every year, sending his stars over there to where Princess
Monaco.
Grace used to live? And
Monaco.
why the hell we ain't got Kelly Monaco going over there to Princess Grace's country and being like, hey y'all, don't y'all want to buy General Hospital? I mean, they send them Bell Soap people all the time. Send them over there. Send Brandon Barash, send them. Send them somewhere. Sell it. Work them. Work them like some slaves in a field. Like Django Unchained. Come on, let's go.
Oh. Okay. Coming in at number one for me is something that I'm not sure what my business partner will have to say about it, but in light of the fact that major stuff seems to happen, I think that my number one New Year's resolution should be that I need to travel more. Because every time I go out of town, something big happens. Soaps
No, 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 no.
get canceled, soaps get picked back up, people leave,
Let's
people
say
throw shade. It's amazing how I think we need to give me a travel budget and I can travel.
Time out. Time out.
Luke celebrated Christmas this year from December the 1st through December 31st.
That is not true. It was December 17th through January 4th.
Yeah, I told him Christmas is one damn day. Look, you got me cussing my baby Jesus' birthday. Look, I'm at my mama's blogging about Prospect Park as I'm singing, "We wish you a Merry Christmas." Oh, wait, let me find out what these bastards are doing. "We wish you a Merry Christmas and a happy." Look, I'm cussing in there talking about, "These motherfuckers is doing what?" My mama's like, "Jamie, oh, sorry. We wish you a Merry Christmas." I'm all on the computer.
Listen. Listen, I was visiting my great grandmother who is getting up there in age and who I haven't seen in a very long time. It was a wonderful trip. And look at all that happened. Prospect Park all of a sudden is bringing back All My Children and One Life to Live. Steve Burton miraculously discovered he didn't want to live in the South, or not live in the South, but stay in the South.
Didn't know
He
Tennessee
decided
was
to
my
come
general
back to
city.
Y&R. It's amazing the stuff that happened.
Your great grandmama was like, "Oh Lord, this damn Luke
Get me
Campbell."
a laptop and a strong internet connection so you can blog you visit on it.
Well, yes, I do need a laptop. If any of you want to send me a laptop, I'd be more than
I
happy.
want to see a laptop.
I do have an honorable mention, though, going around the circle real quick in case anybody else does. And this is because it reminded me of this watching the Glee Christmas episode where Sarah Buxton was in it. Someone in 2013 needs to make a resolution to get her on a damn soap because she She's fantastic, and I miss her.
Yeah, okay. It worked so good the last time she tried to make them believe that a shark ate baby Steffi or baby
You have to at least give her a plausible storyline. Mel, did you have any honorable mentions?
No.
Okay, Jillian?
To try to be a little bit more nicer with Dave. Psych! I can't. You're going to have to get it too, Gary Tomlin.
Jamie, any honorable mentions?
Yes, to renew my lifelong efforts to open for NSYNC.
Okay.
Check this out.
On that note, we would encourage you.
Bye, bye, bye.
To comment on this episode at DaytimeConfidential.com. Tell us your 2013 New Year's resolutions for soaps. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/DCConfidential. Add us as a friend on Facebook. We thank you for listening. Until next time, so long.
Deuces.
Bye-bye. Yeah.